Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text number 3. Ashvadadana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Prapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani Ashvadadana. Those who are faithless. Purusha. Such persons. Dharmasya. Toward the process of religion. Asya. This. Parantapa. O killer of the enemies. Aprapya. Without obtaining. Mam, me, nivartante, come back, Mrityu, of death, samsara, immaterial existence, vartmani, on the path. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot obtain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Purport. The faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of the Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service to the Lord. This faith is the most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. The Chaitanya Charitamrita has said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 431.14, Yata taramula nishechanena tripyanti taskanda bujo prashaka noha parat harachari tendriyanam ittataiva sarvahanam atuteja. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs, and leaves. And by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, Personality of Godhead. One is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious men, and the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive. And as soon as they are economically a little well-situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It's only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well-versed in the literatures of devotional service has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first-class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who have automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti, or service to Krishna, is the best cause. And so in good faith have taken it up. Thus they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures, nor faith, but association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there is no chance of falling down. and one in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person is in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency towards karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages described in the Srimad Bhagavatam: first class attachment, second class attachment, and third class attachment, are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Those who have no faith even after hearing about Krishna and have the excellence of devotional service who think that is simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they supposedly engage in devotional service. For them there is very little hope of gaining perfection. This faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. Ashuddhadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapimam nivartante mriti samsara vartmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service can obtain me, O conqueror of enemies, therefore the return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Generally, because we've been accustomed to seeing learning from books as some kind of academic exercise, unless you're studying some technology, then more or less philosophy is just armchair speculation, generally speaking. Therefore, people are not interested in armchair speculation nowadays, or so-called philosophy, because they're too busy trying to learn some technology so they can survive. Philosophy nowadays is that if it feels good, then you do it. That's the whole, that's the extent of the philosophy that most people are familiar with. Anything beyond that is just unnecessarily complicated. But there's a difference between the philosophy and the Vedic literature, especially Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and just ordinary philosophy, is that the philosophy represents reality, and reality represents a plane of experience beyond our present realm of experience, where we're eternally full of, where our consciousness is ever expanding, our experiences are ever expanding, and everything is a variety of just pleasure and love. So that's not exactly our present experience, but that's what the books are actually about. And therefore, studying these books, as I've mentioned before, requires a different approach. Namely, the first approach is just to hear what is being said. Now we may think, if we hear what's being said, we've actually understood what's being said. But it's just like if you put something in your mouth, it doesn't mean it's assimilated into your body yet. Now, if you don't put it into your mouth, it probably will never get assimilated into your body. So the first step is to put it in your mouth. But you can't think that everything is finished. Now, first of all, you have to chew the food. If you don't chew the food, nothing else is going to happen. Or if you just swallow it, they'll probably come out the other end the same way you came in. Well, there won't be any assimilation. So we have to chew this. We have to chew this knowledge, which means we have to hear it, and then we have to remember it, and then try to see what's being said, to see what kind of perspective is actually, see it from the point of view of Krishna. We don't see it from the point of view of Krishna, and we see it from our own point of view, is not going to help us very much because our own point of view is extremely limited. But Krishna's point of view is quite broad. Just like we hear Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Swapake Cha Pandita Samadarshana. So we think, all right, maybe there's a few devotees who are also spirit souls. Krishna's vision is quite broad. That all living entities are spiritual beings. Even the, of course, I don't believe in the coronavirus, but even if there is a virus, I personally think it's a fairy tale. Or a, not a fairy tale, it's a story of dragons and ogres. Because after all, if there's a they say it's a virus, but a virus is just a protein. But proteins are not alive. So if something's not alive, then how can it duplicate itself? And if it can't duplicate itself, then something else is going on besides what they're telling us. In any case, if you tell people that, we'll just waste our time. Because people are not interested in understanding reality. They didn't come here for reality. So in any case, we have to assimilate the knowledge. We have to see it from Krishna's point of view, from his perspective. Then we can see, when we look around, that everyone else, theoretically at least, is a spiritual being like I am. Even the animals. And then we won't treat the animals as if they were just animals. We'll have a different perspective. Now how we're going to treat them is, that's a different thing. Because that requires some, not only knowledge and perspective, it requires some skill to know how to treat different living entities in different ways to help them become conscious of Krishna. If that's our mission, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that's our mission, whoever we meet, we're supposed to help them become Krishna conscious. So that perspective is based upon the very simple fact that everyone is Krishna's servant eternally. Now, everything else is just an unnecessary complication. Or it may be assistant to help us in our attempt to help people become Krishna conscious. Just like we have this building here, and it's a little complicated. There's electricity and so many things that go on. But it's all centered around just to help people become Krishna conscious. Now, if we forget that, then we wonder why we're here. What's going on here? And often we may forget that. Now, that acquiring skill, we have to learn from someone how to acquire that skill from some example, because otherwise, how do we know what the skill is becoming Krishna conscious? That's why we have Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the story of our acharyas, so we can put that skill into practice in our own lives, following different examples. But in order to do that, we need conviction. We need, and that conviction comes both by those who have conviction and that by those, and by our own personal experience. As much as we've experienced Krishna consciousness, to that extent we have conviction or faith in it. And it's only by conviction that we'll do anything. We may have the skill, just like I was captain of my tennis team in college, in actually high school, and I was captain of the chess team. But I have the skill, but I don't. Right now I'm not using it, at least not officially. You can probably figure out I'm not playing tennis, so. Anyhow, I may have that skill, but I'm not using it. So there's a difference between having a skill and actually practicing it. And even in the mundane world, there's no limit to how skillful you can become at any particular thing. Especially nowadays, there's so much competition that people, I remember when I was playing chess, you'd have to study 8 hours a day at least in order to keep up with the competition. I mean, you'd have to have a real, you'd have to be motivated to do that. Or even if you want to play, be a professional tennis player, you have to practice like day in and day out for hours and hours of the day. Study the game, study the strategy. And as much as you study and practice, everyone else is studying and practicing also. So it gets to the point that it's not everyone has the same skill, but their conviction, determination, etc., may be different. Their ability to be tolerant and to be determined and motivated, etc., to utilize those skills, conviction. And then, the end, you have to become the acharya character. That you become so expert that simply you walk in the room and people are thinking of how to play, you know, how to play tennis. They're remembering your pastimes. Or hopefully we're Krishna conscious, that we develop the character of a pure devotee, and just by one's presence one understands what all those stages are, what knowledge is, what perspective is, what conviction is, what skills are, and ultimately that's the manifestation of the highest state of character. Then one can actually understand what the Bhagavad Gita is saying, because that's what the Bhagavad Gita is saying. It's not talking about some philosophy that we have to memorize so we can pass the Bhakti Shastri test, so we can get our Bhakti Shastri degree, and we can get second initiation, and so we can be a Brahmin, and we don't have to clean the toilets anymore, because Brahmins don't do such things. But that's not why we're taking Bhakti Shastri. So we can get the thread and murmur something every day. Fall asleep with our eyes open. Om. No, the purpose is to come to the highest platform of character, and that's all what the scriptures are talking about. That's what they're trying to achieve. Now we may remember where Janardan has the conch wheel, club, and lotus flower, and help us meditate on Janardan, but just by academically knowing those things, it's just like licking the jar of honey. We won't get any taste. Therefore, unless we're prepared to go through the process of hearing attentively, and such that we can actually meditate and get some perspective on what we're hearing, to practically apply it within our lives in a skillful way, to actually, and at the same time getting the necessary experience coming from the mercy of Krishna, that we develop the conviction and determination to continue on with the process so that our character improves, devotional character improves. Unless we do that, then devotional service, we'll never be able to figure out what it's all about, because it won't make any sense. Unless it comes to the platform of actually experiencing, of actually seeing that we're at least improving in our relationships with others, and that means also in our minds, in our attitude towards others. As soon as we think, oh, I hate this person, he may appear to be a devotee, but I know he's a rascal. As soon as we start thinking like that, which may be true, maybe a rascal, but we also have to, we can't forget that they're actually spiritual beings. We can't forget the two sides of the story, the objective side of it, and the subjective side. If we only see the objective side, then we're impersonalists. And if we only see the subjective side, we're materialists. So unless we can see both the objective side, the absolute nature of what's going on and see the varieties in that absolute nature. And the purpose of seeing both objectively and subjectively, then we'll be losing our purpose in what we're doing. So we can't just see, first of all, we're not on the platform where we can see everything objective all the time. But we should see things objectively. That usually we have to practice, how to see through the scriptures, the vision of the scriptures, and then try to see how things are being organized in this material world according to the three modes. You probably heard in Ishupanishad that one should understand both, I think, spiritual and material knowledge side by side. Isn't that right? Well, that's what it says in the Upanishad. I guess we can't disagree with it. So what does it mean, material knowledge? It means I have to know how to become an expert swimmer, and then that's also nice, but swimming, Prabhupada said, is a Vaishnava sport. You don't have to become so expert. But anyway, it's a nice sport. But the point is, what does it mean? It means we have to understand objectively what's going on, how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. At the same time, have the skill so we can understand what is going on in this world so we can utilize these things in Krishna's service. If all we see is everyone is this, you know, with four hands, like an Uttamadakari sees like that, then we don't have to know about the varieties of energies, because we're not going to actually be engaged in the missionary work. Therefore, we don't know how to understand the varieties of personalities, because we see everyone as divine. But everyone isn't divine. I mean, everyone's divine, but everyone's activities are not divine. So we have to see subjectively also and understand the varieties of personalities, varieties of the three modes, the varieties of situations, so we can engage these things in Krishna service, so people can actually make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada said, this movement will advance by organization and intelligence. Now, if you're a pure devotee, at least in this world, just remembering Krishna's pastimes, like Haridas Thakur, you don't need a high amount of organization. Of course, intelligence, you know, I mean, intelligence in the sense of helping the organization. You don't need a high amount of it, because you're just going to chant Hare Krishna the whole day. It's very simple. Because someone has to cook prasadam, someone has to deliver the prasadam, etc. But if you're Dhruva Maharaj, you don't need any of that. You don't even need prasadam. You don't even need air. Well, we're not on that platform, I don't think. Well, if you want to see if you're on the platform, just... If you start breathing, you're not on Dhruva Maharaj's platform. Easy test. So, therefore, we have to study the books both to understand the absolute platform and how to apply that absolute platform in our everyday activities and lives, so that we can make advancement towards remembering Krishna and fulfilling Krishna's desires and his mission. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Maharaj. This is quite an interesting topic, seeing, using material stuff in spiritual manners. So the question would be, maybe sometimes we can disguise our material, how to say, yes, motivations are kind of in the spiritual, you know, with so-called spirituality.
Yes.
Like being unattached, unclean, or these are just like the small ones, but there are, you maybe have come in contact with also bigger ones, so
Yeah, like, we definitely have to go see the movie called Avatar, because it's all about an avatar. Just to, or we go to the movies to find out in the future I might want to become a movie maker. So I have to see how... I have to spend at least 3 hours a day watching movies. In case in the future I might want to make a movie myself, I want to be prepared. For Krishna, of course. So, therefore, it depends upon austerity. I mean, sincerity. And we have to see what we have to choose devotees as examples to follow. And hopefully we choose those who are the most expert in loving relationships with the devotees and are most steady at doing that in the practice of bhakti and most expert at the consistency in doing it. Then if we have some propensity that we can inquire whether it's going to be suitable. Especially inquire from someone who's expert, who's both expert at what we want to do and also expert at Krishna consciousness. It's very easy to find someone who's expert at what we want to do, but that may not lead us to Krishna consciousness. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. I'll just, from my past experiences, I had some material tendencies, some which is not good for developing this bhakti, but I'm just thinking, if one dedicate his time to study and to think about it, what he's read continually, does this automatically cast away all these tendencies?
Nothing is automatic, except for our conditioning under the modes of nature. Mm-hmm. No, we have to make an effort.
We need to put an endeavor to
read out. We have to pay attention. Maya will come and say, hey, why are you concentrating so much? You're going to burn your brain out. Relax. You need a vacation. You go, yeah, you make a lot of sense, Maya. I was thinking the same thing myself. Good that I got someone to support me. No, I have to take our attention away from Maya and put it on Krishna. That takes an effort. And in order to do that, we have to understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how to do it. Otherwise, Maya doesn't give up so easy. Oh, I see you put on a dhoti. I won't bother anymore. See, Maya convinces us about many things. No, but everything, to do anything takes an effort. If you decided today, I'm going to make $1 million, and you just, I think I'll just study about it for the next 15 years. Now you have to make an effort, and there's going to be obstacles. You have to use your brains. You've got to pray to Krishna for the intelligence. When he gives it to you, you have to use it. And there will be so many obstacles to test you. So, and then you may not even have the karma for it. If we work with life, I may have to work life after life to get it. So, anything else? All right, thank you very much, Brother Raj. Bhagavad Gita, ki jai.